Everyone, Jesse said he had to swim to get here today. We've been swimming for a month or two now, so it probably was nothing new for him. Pastor Glenn is sick, and so I encouraged him to stay home. Because I said, number one, we need you to get well, and number two, we don't want to get sick from you. And there's some nasty bugs out there right now, so we've listened to our neighbor hacking and coughing for 2 or 3 weeks now, and I was thinking, well, maybe that's the same thing. So Pastor Glenn will not be joining us today. I wanted to start with a story today. I have my Bible with me today, which is, you all recognize, I have another Bible with me. It's not as important as the first one, but it's a Bible to me. It's almost as well worn. This is my climbing book. This is Joshua Tree. This is my Joshua Tree guidebook. So, you know, most of you know that I love to climb. I've had a wonderful experience recently. My boss, 14 years ago at my old job, and I have started climbing together, and I love going to Joshua Tree. I call it my other home. And my old boss grew up in his teenage and college years in Joshua Tree. Every weekend he spent in Joshua Tree. And he remembers all of the climbs, and he's taken me on new climb after new climb after new climb. And what he does is he points me at the climb. He says, okay, here's the new one, and go this way and go that way. And so I get up on there, and then he comes up behind me, and then we do another one, then we do another one. Then we drive 2.5 hours home in the dark, and then another Friday, take the Friday off. He calls in sick. I take a day off and do it again. And then he goes to work on Saturday to catch up with what he missed on Friday. Part of climbing, especially when you're climbing new routes that you've never been on before, is this experience of getting off route. Okay? So you look in the guidebook here, and, you know, here's a picture of the formation, and here are all the climbs on it. And they're all rated, and they tell you the difficulty rating. Okay? So if you climb and you stay on route, that's the difficulty that you can expect to find on this route. So you can kind of look at that rating and think, well, this is within my abilities or not. But if you get off route, then that's a whole nother thing. And it's not that hard to get off route. So whenever I get off route, I make notes in my book, okay? And I get off route quite a bit when I'm doing new climbs. I'm going to read you the notes from my last off-route experience on page 101 here. We were climbing on this fort. This is about 3 weeks ago. We were climbing on Lost Horse Wall, okay? And it's probably about maybe 300 feet of vertical climbing. And we were climbing one called the Swift, okay, which runs right up the middle of this formation here. And I got to this point on the climb, and he's saying, no, you go. I said, and I'm yelling down to him because he's out of sight there, and I'm saying, Dino, there are three cracks here. Which one do I take? Do I take the left, or do I take the middle, or do I take the right? He says, you just go straight up. Go take the middle one. Take the middle one. I'm going, okay, here we go. And I'm trying to go around this way, and I'm climbing up on this ledge, and that's not working. I can't make the last moves to keep going, so I have to back all the way down. I go back down here, and I try to go straight at it. I can't do that. I try to go right. I can't do that. And I start thinking about this, and I'm very relaxed, but I've got this puzzle I can't solve. And all of a sudden, I notice that right in front of me is this big old spot for a big cam that I'm carrying that's going to keep me safe. And I stick that thing in there, and all of a sudden I go like this. I go, okay, now we can do this. And I proceed to do the difficult climb, just to climb straight up, and then I traverse around to the right. We were off route, okay? I should have taken the right crack. His memory wasn't correct on that. And we climbed a much harder variation of the climb. And I can tell you, All of my off-route stories, I can tell you the stories because they were branded into my brain, right? It was a crisis, right? And every time I climb off-route, I go back to my guidebook and I make notes, okay? See all these notes in the margin here? I want to make the mistake just once, okay? I don't want to make it a second time. So let me read you my notes here. Bring a double rack down to purple. That's all my gear that I carry. First chimney, traverse left to avoid the roof. And either go to the right crack below and avoid or protect with a cam and traverse right after the roof. Okay? And then I need to make some additional notes there to say to don't even go to the roof. A roof is when you come up to this thing that goes like this and then you have to climb over it. Now this roof was about probably about 2-3 feet, okay? But it was just enough to throw you off balance and make you completely dependent on stemming like this and then the handholds above. Can you tell that was branded into my mind? I could tell you lots of those stories. It comes with the territory, doesn't it? When you're doing something new, that's, you know, you have these learning experiences, right? It's not all this easy ride, learning ride. And I know for you and I know for me that your spiritual life is no different. God does not let us sit anchored in the harbor, right? He pushes us out into the ocean, open ocean, where there's no land in sight, where we're completely dependent on Him. In your spiritual life and my spiritual life, we're going to have those experiences where we learn. We learn the hard way. We go back and we make notes. I have a book next to my bed. Carol sees me pull it out every so often and make notes. And it's one of those experiences I'm going through spiritually where I'm making some notes like, okay, reminding myself of my priorities, reminding myself of something that's going to put my feet back on the rock and keep me on track. Okay? So the same kinds of experiences we have in other parts of life, we certainly have in our spiritual growth. Today I'm going to share with you some thoughts. I haven't had a lot of time to prepare, but I'm going to share with you some thoughts that I have on the topic of prayer that I've learned over the past, you know, year or two. And a lot of times I'll jot these down just in case Pastor Glenn's out and I'll pull it back up on my computer and look at it and I'll go, okay, so let's use this. I'm going to share with you, prayer is such a broad topic and it's a wonderful, wonderful topic to discuss. But I'm going to pick a narrow slice of it today and we're just going to look at that. And I want you to just kind of relax and enjoy. We're going to have a conversation today. We're going to just talk back and forth as we go through this discussion. Kind of like I do on one of my Joshua Tree climbs when I'm exploring something new. It's all about exploration and it's all about learning. So today we're going to try to learn as we go. But don't relax too much because I'm going to give you a quiz at the end. Okay? Very easy one. So our text today, if you look in your bulletin, was the Lord's Prayer. Let me see if I have a copy of that here. Our Father, I'll read it right here on the New King James. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So here's the point that I want to make today. I'm going to tell you what it is right now, okay? And then you're going to hear me repeat this over and over and over and over. Because we're going to extract one piece of this prayer today, and we're going to look at it more carefully than the other parts, okay? Here's where we're going today. Prayer is the pathway that leads us from trusting ourselves to trusting God. Okay? Okay, and we're going to look at this in the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to look at it in some other prayers in God's Word. Because when we learn to trust God instead of ourselves, it opens up so much for us as Christians. When we trust ourselves, we have a limited set of options that we come up with. When we trust God, we're gonna do some examples today. We have a whole nother set of behavior options that opens up to us just because of who we trust. So it opens the door to seeing God's power in your life and God's power in mine. It opens the door to God revealing himself to everyone around us, because whether we trust in ourselves or we trust in him makes this, it's like a watershed, it's like a dividing line. It creates a whole new set of possibilities. The Lord's Prayer was Jesus' response to his disciples saying what? Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And he said, okay, here's how you pray. So we see a lot of prayers in the Bible. We have a lot of Jesus' prayers recorded, don't we? But this is the one that he said in response to that question, okay? Teach us to pray. So I want to break it down just a little bit here, and then we're going to take a piece of that prayer and we're going to look at it very carefully. Here's how I break it down. This is my personal take on the prayer, okay? I'm not formally trained theologian or anything. I haven't read this anywhere else, but this is kind of my conclusion here. Our Father, okay? I'm going to categorize that as praise. Our Father, who is in heaven, praise again. You're almighty. You're all powerful. Hallowed is your name. Holy is your name. Again, praise. We're acknowledging who he is. You're our Father. You're in heaven. You're holy. Okay? We're going to call that praise, praise, praise. Okay? Those three statements. Now listen to the next one. This is one we're going to talk about today. Your kingdom come, your will be done, right? That's the next phrase. I guess you could call that praise. But I want to look at it a little more deeply. I want to look at it from the standpoint of, it's the opposite of my kingdom come, my will be done, which is usually where we start, isn't it? Isn't that what humanity is all about? Building your own personal kingdom, promoting yourself, doing it your way. And right here in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, we find something very different. We find it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. In other words, we're putting ourselves, our will, our desires, all that we are, we're sacrificing that. We're putting that aside and we're saying, I want your kingdom. I want your will. Following me so far? And then we go into the rest of the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. Okay? So we have our Father in heaven. Praise. Who is in heaven? Praise. Hallowed is your name? Praise. Then we have this middle section, which is where we say we want your will and not our own. And then we have the last section where we're asking for things. So if I was to put this in very simple form, I would say praise, 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 offer your heart, ask, ask, ask. You see the organization of the prayer around that? Praise, praise, praise. God, this is who you are. You're our Father. You're in heaven. Hallowed is your name. I give you my heart. I sacrifice my will. I want yours. And then ask, ask, ask. Okay? It's very interesting to me how this, the progression of the prayer, because once you get to the middle part where you're putting your will aside for God's will, only after that do the asks come. And I have a feeling that if you've really done that, if I've really done that, I've really said, Lord, I want your will instead of mine, I think what I ask for might be just a little bit different than it would be if I haven't put my will aside. Here's what I want. If I have put it aside, it's going to be different. My will and God's will are going to be closer. Maybe not perfectly matched, but closer. Maybe that's the best we can hope for. Or maybe they'll be matched up, and then all of a sudden we'll start praying for what he wants, because our hearts and his are joined. So let's talk about that midpoint. Let's talk about your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm going to give you some other words for that. Romans 12:1 says, offer your bodies as living sacrifice. It's an offering. It's saying, I give up my will. I want your will. I haven't figured it out. You have it figured out. I don't know the way. You are the way. I don't make choices that are healthy for me and those around me. You know the path for me. Do you see that sacrifice of will there? Do you see that? There's other words that are often used for this idea is the word surrender, submission. Wrote a couple other ones down. Offering. Gift. Another word to use would be trust. Who do you trust? Do you trust yourself or do you trust God? Okay? Faith. Equivalent to the word trust. So right there in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, we have praise, praise, praise. Offer, give up your will, submit, offering of yourself. And then we have ask, ask, ask. Right there in the heart of the Lord's Prayer is this pivotal section there that has to do with our will and his will. And saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he put that right in the middle of it. So what I thought it'd be fun to do today is let's contrast the two. Let's contrast these two ideas. My kingdom come, my will be done versus your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay, so I want somebody to make up a crisis that we might face today as people living on this planet. Make up a crisis. Tell me a crisis. Your car broke down. You got really sick. What happened?
I lost half my income and I don't have a way to find another job yet.
Okay. She lost half of her income and hasn't found another job yet. Crisis, right? Okay. My kingdom come, my will be done. What are her options? What's she going to do?
Pray, pray, pray.
Okay, okay. Prayer is going to move her off of that, out of that place, right? She's starting with my kingdom come, my will be done. But if she doesn't pray, what are her options? Let's just say that she doesn't pray and she says, I'm going to figure this out. What are her options?
Going and looking everywhere for jobs.
Okay. Yes. Apply for every job in the classified section. Yeah. What else? Anything else?
Selling Lexi's things.
Selling stuff. Yeah. Selling Lexi's stuff. My kingdom come, my will be done. Anything else? Anybody else? Yeah, so, but you heard these options, right? Let's get this done. Let's fix it now. If I'll just buckle down and work harder and pay attention, we can make this happen, right? And if somebody's in my way, good luck. Look out. Because I'm just going to roll right over them, right? Because it's all about numero uno, fixing the problem, right? Okay. So let's take the same situation with your kingdom come, your will be done, okay? Okay. What are some options now that we have in terms of resolving this crisis? Anybody?
Put it in God's hands and trust that he has something better or maybe another idea that I need more or something.
Okay. Did you hear that? You hear that? Anybody else? So put it in God's hands. Trust that he might have something better for you. Has anybody had the experience where You weren't willing to get off the path you were on until something happened that jolted you off that path. And all of a sudden you reconsidered, and all of a sudden something better came out of it, or different came out of it. It was better for you and everybody around you. Anybody had that experience? Yeah, many, many times, many times. And after a while you get to the point where you say, okay, well, God, you just gave me this big old situation where I lost half of my income, and maybe you're doing something here that I just didn't realize.
Like you said, when you're used to the routine, you're used to this, and you think, well, maybe I could get something better, but it doesn't. It takes you losing something for you to actually start to look for something better, maybe.
Okay.
Because you're just used to doing that. It's easy.
Comfortable.
And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. then it makes something in. Like this to make you find some change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We establish patterns of behavior that are comfortable for us. We like to live there. We like to stay there. We don't consider options. And sometimes God goes, boom, we bounce out of that rut, right? And he says, no, I have something better for you, but it's not convenient and it's upsetting and it requires us to say, not my will, but your will be done. Let's think of one more crisis. Anybody got another crisis for us? Okay.
When I first got a job and started getting paid, I wanted to misuse the money, and I didn't give tithing because I was afraid I would never
have enough.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess the crisis moment was when I got a write up at work for not doing my job right, and that jolted me awake and helped me to realize that, you know, God was the one who gave me that job in the first place, mm-hmm. and. I found that, you know, when I put it in his hands and accepted that, you know, it was his money in the first place, and I started giving tithing, I found that I worked a lot better at work because I knew that my money was going towards something that was really meaningful. Mm. And so I still have that job now, and I'm really grateful for it and for everything that God has given me through it.
Okay, so here we are. My kingdom come, my will be done. What does that mean? Don't tithe. Hang on to that money. There's never enough of it. Right? You're always short. How am I going to survive? Right? Okay. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It opens up another alternative. And that other alternative is, yeah, recognize who the provider, the great provider is. Recognize whose hands you're in. Trust him instead of your job or your income. Yeah. Yes, Karen. I'm going to put you on mic here so everybody can hear.
I guess I miss teaching, so I like to talk. So with me, it seems like when you put something in God's hands in some crisis situation, the anxiety and the worry dissipates. Mm. And you are now knowing he's taking care of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of an instance in my own life, but I don't just sit there and say, okay, God, it's in your hands. I'm going to sit here and wait till that phone rings or I get that email or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, I move forward asking for his guidance, and then I trust that he will open doors for me.
Yeah, so it's all about trust in him, isn't it? And he puts us into useful work along the lines of his purposes. So if he wants us to have a new job, he points us down the road of finding that new job and is with us, but that we have peace in our heart now in the process. And we're open to his leading, and we're looking for his leading. And it's not all about me fixing this now at whatever expense. In my work, and I've said this many times, I'll say it again. In my work, faith comes many times in the form of a project of mine that's going sideways. and something's going wrong with, and I have a choice of, I have those choices that we just talked about here. My kingdom come, will be done. Let's fix this now, okay? We need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. And if I take that approach, I usually sacrifice relationships in my fixing the problem. You know, I don't treat people with love and respect. I manipulate, I exaggerate, I do whatever I need to do to make it work. And when it's my kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done, I never sacrifice relationships. I ask for honesty and accountability among everybody around me, and I find God's path through it. And I'm relaxed about it, and I don't have to force anything, because who's driving the bus now? Our Heavenly Father is. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Right here in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, that's what Jesus put. Is that cool? So here we go, acknowledging God as our Father. In heaven, hallowed is your name, you're holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That is the miracle, in my opinion, that's the miracle of the Christian life. That is a testimony to everyone around you, because when they look at the situation and then they look at your response to it, they go like this. Right? They're going, hold on now. If that was me, I would be doing this and this and this and this and this and this, right, to fix the problem. But I just saw something here that I don't even recognize. I'm puzzled by it. Luann or Marty or Andrew or, you know, Derek did something that is just so contrary to the solution I would have taken. And they scratch their heads and they go, And then they might see it again, and then they might see it again, and they might see it again, and they might see it again in your life, right? This is God talking to them and through the way you and I live and telling them about Himself. I'm the Almighty God. I'm the all-powerful God. I love you. I care about you. You matter. You can trust me. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. You don't need to say anything. Some of you know that I changed jobs recently, and I had a guy in my office that I know very, very well. He and I worked on his projects for that whole 14 years. We had a very good friendship, and he was thanking me for... as he'd watched me work, he'd seen those responses to situations that where God had been leading in my behavior, and he pointed that out. And he says, "Marty, that," he says, "I don't." He says, "You know, that made a really big impact on me. I've never said anything to you about it, but he says, I've begun to try to adopt that for myself. You know, and I've tried to learn from that." And I've noticed the changes in him, too, as time had gone by. And I looked at him, I said, "Sean, let me tell you the reason for that." And I said, "The reason for that behavior is because I'm trusting someone else beside myself." I said, I'm incapable of that behavior if I am trusting Marty. But I put my trust somewhere else, and that gives me the freedom to do things differently and treat people with respect all the way through, because it's no longer my project. It's a project God gave me to work on, and if He wants to flush it down the toilet, He can do that. I'm going to sit there and watch it go and in peace, rather than hanging on to it and keep trying to pull it out and end up going down with it, right? Anybody on that? Yeah. Right here in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "Give me your heart. I want your heart. And when you've done that, then I want you to ask for things." The asking doesn't happen till after that. And when the asking happens, it's going to be probably a different list if our heart really is in that spot. I have a friend of mine who divides our response, my kingdom come, my will be done. He says, Marty, he says, when we're in that mode, he says, you're either a skunk or you're a turtle. My kingdom come, my will be done looks like a skunk. You know, you either spray all over everybody to fix the problem, or you pull into your shell and retreat from the world to try to fix the problem. Maybe it'll go away if I go into my shell for long enough, right? We turn into skunks and turtles. And he says, everybody's a skunk or a turtle. You have a natural inclination to do one or the other. It's true. God doesn't want us to be either one. When we trust in him, all of a sudden, a whole host of options come to us where he and his power are on display. If we don't trust him and we don't say, your kingdom come, your will be done, are we going to see those options come into play? Those other options that God gives us to trust him, to find peace, to follow his path, to take a different course, to respect people along the way? No, we won't. We will not see his power. His power is utterly dependent upon us trusting him and saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Pretty awesome. And all of the benefits that come, all of the fruit of the Spirit, of the presence of the Spirit come, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness. Last one, self-control. I probably missed one in there, gentleness. All of those come on display. Those are characteristics of God himself. Those are evidence of his Spirit living within us. When we choose our way and our path, and we eliminate the Spirit's presence in our life, and those characteristics of God are no longer there. They're his characteristics. They're not ours. They come from the Spirit indwelling. They're the fruit of the Spirit. Whose Spirit? God's Spirit, not our Spirit. Who gets the credit for those characteristics? He does. He does. I'm going to say this again, because this is talking about that center point, the pivot point in the Lord's Prayer, that middle section, your kingdom come, your will be done. Prayer is the pathway that leads us from trusting ourselves to trusting him. If you find yourself in a mode where you're trusting yourself and you're pursuing your own solutions to something, spend some time in prayer. Go through the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, recognize God as your Heavenly Father who loves you. We're family. Talk to him like family. Who's in heaven? He's all powerful. He's the creator. Hallowed is your name. He's holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done. When you find yourself in places where you're not, you're faced with challenges that are striking and causing you to go into the turtle or skunk mode, time for a time out, right? Go to that prayer. Follow it through and see, and then get to the point where you get to the middle of it where we say, okay, I give up. I give this problem to you. You're the great creator. You're the great God. You have enough wisdom. You have enough strength. And my challenge is found right there. That's where the battle is, right? The battle's right there in the middle. I'm going to share a couple other things here. This is from Matthew 26:42. And speaking of Jesus, and it says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying this, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, your will be done. Jesus did not want to go to the cross. Everything within him was saying, this is going to be painful, it's going to be hard, it's going to be tough. I'm going to be separated from my Father by the sins of the world. I do not want to do this. And he says, Father, can you please do this some other way? And then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Does that sound like the middle of the Lord's Prayer? Where was the battle at the cross fought? Was it fought when they put him up on the cross? Was it fought when he carried the cross to the top of the hill? Was it fought when they were abusing him during the trials that they had for him that night? Was it fought there? It was fought in prayer, wasn't it? It was fought in prayer. So when you're having trouble losing yourself and finding God in your life, go to prayer. That's what Jesus did. The battle was fought. The battle was won right there in Gethsemane. It wasn't won at the cross. The turning point was Gethsemane, wasn't it? The cross was the afterthought. That's the actions that followed. It's no different for you and me. When you find yourself in a difficult position where you're tending to resort to skunk or turtle tactics, right? Go to prayer and get rid of your self-will. Get rid of it. Any shred of it, it has to go. Because when you do that, now who's in charge? Yeah, your kingdom come, your will be done. God's in charge. And we have flooding over us, like Karen says, peace. We can behave in a loving way again because we're not out to defend and protect ourselves, right? Joy returns. Laughter returns. Have you ever laughed in the midst of a terrible situation? That's a sign of God's Spirit, in my opinion. Because you found that peace and that joy in that spot where your trust is somewhere else. Wonderful spot to be. Jesus fought the battle in prayer in Gethsemane, and the battle was won right there. The cross happened as a natural result. The battle was won in prayer. That's why he put that right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. He says, this is how it works. This is what prayer looks like. I want to read you one other quote, and I don't know if this is still in our bulletin or not, but it's been there before. It's from a guy named Oswald Chambers. Oswald Chambers was a pastor and a teacher. He was a pastor he was a chaplain, I think, in World War I, and then he was a teacher at a college in England. And you can read a collection of his devotional thoughts that he delivered to the students at the school that he was teaching at in England. And here's what he says. Prayer is not preparation for the work. Does anybody know what the next statement is? It is the work. Prayer is not preparation for the battle. It is the battle. It is the battle. That's because prayer, right in the middle of it, as Jesus described it, right, has this battle for the will, right there. Whose kingdom are we building, our own or his? It's a battle about trust. Where did Adam and Eve fall off track? My kingdom come, my will be done. Yep, we don't trust you, God. We think that You're keeping something from us. So, yeah, we believe this guy instead. We're going to eat that fruit. They chose, right there, they chose that other alternative. My kingdom come, my will be done. Prayer is the battle. Jesus fought the battle in prayer. You and I have to fight the battle where? What did Jesus do when things got busy and tough in his life? You can read stories about he stayed up till midnight healing people in this little town. And then what did he do? He went out and prayed. Yeah. He's getting himself back to that spot, making sure he stayed in that spot. And he wavered in the garden, or at least he didn't, maybe he didn't waver, maybe he just said, please find another way. There's got to be another way. But he fought the battle in prayer again. So what are we going to do, right? When it's our turn, what are we going to do? We're going to fight it in prayer, right? We're going to do the same thing that Jesus did there in the garden. Okay, so here's your quiz, okay? I just want to hear from you. This is a pretty easy quiz because it only has two answers. In other words, it's like a 50-50 chance you're going to get it right. It's like a yes or no, okay? Except your answers are this. Your answer could be either my kingdom come, my will be done, or your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm going to read you a scenario, and you have to pick one of those two, okay? That describe it, okay? And if you miss too many questions, you have to stay afterwards. And Karen's going to be talking to you about your study habits. And that's not a fun thing, I've heard. Okay, so God says to Moses, who was leading his people, he says, I want you to speak to the rock, and water will come out of it for the people. And Moses said, instead of speaking to the rock, he stood in front of the rock. He says, do I have to give you guys water? Taking full credit. And then he struck the rock with this rod, and water came out. Your kingdom come or my kingdom come? My kingdom come. Yeah. My will be done. And Moses, of course, did not enter the promised land because of that. Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit. My kingdom come or your kingdom come? My kingdom. Peter walked on the water. He trusted Jesus enough. When Jesus said, get out of the boat, walk to me on the water, Peter stepped out. Your kingdom come, your will be done, or my kingdom come, my will be done. Yours. And we saw God's power in that, right? When we trust him, we see his power. Okay, let's do another one. Peter fell into the water. Your kingdom come, your will be done, my kingdom come, my will be done. Okay, so everybody's got 100% so far. Here's the trickier one. Peter says, you know, I don't know if you remember the story, they call it, where Jesus went up the mountain, top of the mountain, and Moses and Elijah came. There's a story, and they're visiting with him, and Peter's response to the whole situation is, he says, hey, let's build three tabernacles here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done. My kingdom come, my will be done. Yeah. Immediately upon saying that, the vision ended, there was a cloud that covered him, and there was a voice out of heaven that told Peter, this is my son, listen to him. You're listening to yourself. He got seriously reprimanded. Okay. Aaron builds the golden calf while Moses is on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. My kingdom come, your kingdom come. Yeah, my kingdom come. Okay. Luann Wall loses her job and is looking for a new one. And she prays and she puts it in God's hand. And she asks God for direction while she finds her way from that point. Your kingdom come, your will be done. My kingdom come, my will be done. Your kingdom done. Jesse prays week after week after week for a new job and has peace in his heart and a smile on his face when he comes to church every week. Right, Jesse? So impressive. Your kingdom come, your will be done? Yeah. We're all faced with that fundamental choice, aren't we? And it opens the tap. It turns on the hose. It opens the floodgates for God to show us and everybody around us who He is. He's showing who He is. He's living within us. He's giving us the fruit of the Spirit. He's guiding us. The peace that's within us is His peace. And He's telling the world about Himself. Now, it's like my life with my friend Sean. I have no model of perfection, believe me. But it was really exciting to see after all those years that God had been at work in a way I didn't even know. And I think that's the way it is for all of us. When we put our lives in God's hands and we learn to trust Him and we live out and behave in a way that demonstrates that trust, then people get to see not who I am, but who God is. Prayer is the pathway that leads us from trusting ourselves to trusting Him. So I guess I just want to encourage you and me. Let's just continue to put our hearts in His hands. Let's continue to offer our hearts to Him. Let's continue to find our peace in Him. And let's continue to see His power demonstrated in us as we do that. And that's how God will build His kingdom. He will use you and me in amazing ways that we can't imagine. They don't even come across our minds. When it's my kingdom come, my will be done, we have a limited set of options about how to solve problems. But when we trust Him, there's a whole nother solution to things that's beyond our imagination. And so often, beyond anything we could even come up with as a solution, God has something bigger and greater. So if you find yourself in a situation and you're praying and you're not seeing any immediate answers to whatever the situation is, that job that you lost, for example, in your example, Luann, put your trust completely in Him and just keep going and keep going. Take the practical steps like Karen says God gives you to work through it. God will point you down a path. Just keep on that path and keep your trust there no matter what. And watch and see what God will do, because it's going to be something that is different from anything that you probably conceived over here. It's certainly going to be different from my kingdom come, and it's probably going to be something very different from the way you imagine God might solve your situation. So many times I've been into a situation and I have the answer for it. Oh, no, you need to give me this job right here. No, this one right here, God. You know, it's perfect. No. See, it's right here. And, you know, it's not very far from my house. And, you know, the pay's really good. And then next thing you know, God gives you something else and it's way better than what that was. Either that or He puts you through a really tough time and you learn something about a deficiency in your spiritual life that He's been trying to get across to you for years. And He pulls that weed out, right? By its roots, and it hurts. Another mission accomplished, but a different mission than you had in mind. Oh, the job's going to fix this, and this specific one, and we're advising God now. Oh, no. This one over here. Yeah. So anyway, that's my prayer for you and my prayer for me. Let's keep our hearts to the Lord. Let's let Him have everything. And then we will see Him at work around us in a very powerful way. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious God, thank You for teaching us to pray, and thank You so much for that statement that's right in the middle, in the heart of that prayer that You gave the disciples that's recorded for us. And today, Lord, we just want to heed that. We want to understand that. We want to grasp that, and we want to find Your way in the midst of the reactions that we have so often to life's challenges. We want to fix it ourselves. Are You calling us to a better way? You're saying, pursue My kingdom and My will and leave your own behind. And Lord, today we want to give you our hearts. We don't find your path. So guide us, Lord, with the voice of your Spirit, the words of the Bible that are recorded for us. Guide us, Lord, through the encouragement we can offer each other and all the other circumstances of life. Lord, show us your path. We just want to follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.